Ask an advisor what scares them about going independent, and you almost never get a specific answer. You get a blank. And a blank gets filled with worst-case stories, buried in paperwork, alone with a compliance manual, nobody to call when the technology breaks. So today, I want to fill in that blank with something more useful. An ordinary Tuesday on the other side. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different. So treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for any advisor who's wondered what daily life actually looks like after a move. We'll walk through a day, morning to close, and I'll tell you what genuinely changes, what stays identical, and where the regret shows up when it shows up. One thing before we start. The day I'm about to describe is a composite, and it's hypothetical. It's built from the patterns advisors describe after the move, not the diary of any real advisor. And I'm not going to pretend to tell you how many hours anyone spends on anything, because that varies too much to say. Honestly, the shape of the day is the point. Start with the morning, because the first surprise is how familiar it is. Coffee, a look at the markets, a scan of the calendar. The first hour looks like any employee advisor's first hour. The difference is what's missing. No firm-wide email about a new product initiative. No bulletin about something you can no longer say to clients. The sales contest standings you use to scroll past aren't there either. Advisors who've made the move describe noticing the silence before they notice anything else, and some say it took a week or two to stop bracing for messages that never came. That absence is easy to undervalue from the outside. Inside an employee firm, part of every morning goes to processing what the firm wants from you today. Inside your own practice, the morning belongs to what your clients need from you today. Same hour, different owner. Mid-morning is client meetings. And this is where people expect the biggest change and find the smallest one. It's still a retirement review, still walking a couple through the sale of their business, still being the calm voice when the market drops and a client wants to sell everything. The craft survives the move untouched. What changes is the room around the conversation. You use the planning software you actually think is best, not the one the firm licensed. You recommend what you believe fits that family without checking an approved list first. When a client asks why you suggested something, the answer traces back to their situation instead of a home office priority. If you've ever felt the pull between what the firm wanted sold and what the client needed, and most employee advisors know exactly that feeling, then understand what independence does about it. It doesn't make you a better advisor. It removes the argument you were having with your employer about being one. Now, the part the worst case movie gets most wrong. Who handles compliance in the back office? Somebody whose job it is, and usually not you. Independent does not mean alone. Most independent advisors run their practice on a platform or partner that provides custody, technology, and compliance support. You're not building a firm from scratch in a spare bedroom. You're running your practice on infrastructure somebody else maintains, the way you currently run it on infrastructure your employer maintains. And the texture of compliance changes. At an employee firm, compliance exists to protect the firm, and you experience it as friction. In a supported independent model, the compliance partner's business depends on keeping your practice clean and running. So the same oversight arrives as service. To be fair about the trade, the platform takes a share of your economics for carrying that load, and an advisor who wants every job in-house can build a fully self-contained practice instead. Neither choice is free. Independent describes who owns the practice, not how many jobs you personally do inside it. While we're on oversight, let me close a fear that's really a client-facing fear. Yes, you are still fully regulated. A registered investment advisor, an RIA, registers with the Securities and Exchange Commission or with state regulators, owes clients a fiduciary duty, files public disclosures, keeps required records, and gets examined. Client assets sit with a third-party custodian, not with you. So when a client wonders whether you went rogue, the honest answer is that the oversight didn't shrink. Your name is on the filings now. Some advisors find that more sobering, not less, than the afternoon, which is where the day genuinely departs from the employee version. The afternoon has room in it, time to work on the business instead of only in it. Some of that is growth planning. Some is deciding how a client's family gets served for the next generation. And a chunk of it is as unglamorous as picking a document vendor. Small decisions, except they compound because every improvement now accrues to an enterprise you own. As an employee, decades of relationship building sit on somebody else's books. As an owner, the same effort builds equity, an asset that can be valued, grown, and someday sold or handed to a successor on your terms. You won't notice ownership on any given afternoon. It's what makes the afternoons worth taking seriously. So, does anyone regret this? Some do, and pretending otherwise would make everything else I've said less believable. But watch where the regret concentrates. Advisors who chose a fully self-contained model when what they wanted was a supported one, and now own a job called operations. Advisors who mistimed the exit and forfeited deferred compensation they could have kept by waiting. Advisors who assumed clients would follow out of loyalty alone and learned that a transition is a project with paperwork and follow-through, not an announcement. The regret attaches to how the move was made, almost never to the daily life on the other side. And the path is well-trodden. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% from the year before. Fidelity's advisor movement study found more than half of advisors had considered switching firms within a five-year window, and roughly one in four actually made a move. Enough people have walked this road that the failure modes are known and avoidable. One last thing, because that Calm Tuesday is downstream of the week you leave. The resignation itself, what you can take, what your agreement says, how your firm tends to respond. It was a job for a securities attorney, and most advisors don't have one on call. That's the point. Get the right person in your corner before you act, not after. Done correctly, the exit is the doorway to the ordinary day I just described. Done carelessly, it's the part you spend the next year cleaning up. If you want to know which of these questions are live for your situation, we built a short assessment for exactly that. Six questions, and it routes you to a private conversation or the research that fits where you are. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. 2 minutes and the blank starts filling in with facts. Trade the worst case movie for an ordinary Tuesday. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.